V.S. Naipaul can usually be counted on to feel worse about everything than most of us feel about anything. Everywhere he looks, he sees decline, betrayal, cruelty, and chaos. Many great writers are pessimists, but Naipaul's downright contemptuous, especially of what he calls the half-made societies of the Third World, on which he reports to the First World. Societies no longer traditional and never to be truly modern, from Trinidad to Argentina, from Uruguay to Zaire, from Pakistan to Indonesia. In novels like A Bend in the River and Gorillas, in essay collections like Among the Believers and The Return of Eva Peron, he is telling the imperialist West that our unseemly Congress with dark continents, silent Indians, empty spaces, and jungle rot has spawned a shameful dependency, bad art, second-rate theater, and corrupt politics, a litter of centaurs and mimics. And so his turn in our own American South comes as a surprise. Hard to imagine this gloomy cosmopolitan Naipaul eating collard greens and sweet potatoes the color of boiled carrots, or looking at cypress trees half stripped of leaves, their bald knees rising out of muddy water like a kind of humped aquatic animal, or sitting through an asthma attack in the great damp heat of a Mississippi swamp, or drinking mint juleps and chewing tobacco and shooting the breeze around an old spittoon. Harder still to imagine this toughest of wise old heads, who seems never to have listened to gospel, jazz, soul, or blues, being moved to tears by country music. This last angry man buying into the old Confederacy's sentimentalizing siege mentality, its romance of itself, its nostalgia and its melancholy, its idea of the past as religion and the past as a wound. Impossible, really, to credit Naipaul's love of rednecks, whom he patronizes as a kind of Indian tribe of free spirits, in baseball caps, cowboy boots, and pickup trucks, quote, wandering freely over empty spaces, people with a certain past, living out a certain code, a threatened species. I wonder what the rednecks thought of Naipaul. He seems to have gone south, unencumbered by much history, ignorant of Reconstruction, satisfied that all of the important civil rights battles have already been won, missing the point entirely of W.E.B. Du Bois's crucial differences with Booker T. Washington, impatient with rallies and political demonstrations of any kind, impressed by the processing plant at the Catfish Institute and the robots at the Nissan factory, but incapable of inferring from them anything significant about the new Fast Buck South, unprepared with interesting questions to ask the likes of novelist Eudora Welty or historian Shelby Foote, trusting foolishly to dumb luck among disobliging strangers at a craft shop or a hotel restaurant for the lapidary anecdote, the dazzling insight, the propitious phrase, never managing, after so much talk, to make it to Graceland, looking everywhere for a loss of community about which to feel mournful, needing, for reasons he doesn't go into, some kind of consolation from other people's religious feelings, sort of mushy. Naipaul, who is often compared to and has always been obsessed by Joseph Conrad, has gone into the heart of darkness and whistled a tourist's tune.